opportunity. And apparently Pastor is preaching in, I believe, Pennsylvania tonight. So I'm praying that God will bless that. I'm praying that God will show up here tonight in a special way. Let's stand, if we could, and turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 in your Bibles, and if you'd stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We're glad you're here tonight. Bit of a rainy day, but thankfully the Lord is still good to us. And a great Sunday morning that we had earlier today. Mark chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse number 18. The Bible says in verse number 18, "And when he was come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, God. God, I know I'm not worthy or deserving of it, but God, we thank you that you are worthy of everything that we can give you and more, Lord. We pray that you would bless tonight. God, I pray that you would show up in a mighty way. God, these people don't need to hear from me. God, they don't need just somebody loud and boisterous up here. God, they need to hear from you. They need to see you. They need to know that you have spoken to them tonight. And God, we need you to be at work and you to work in hearts and do what we cannot do, Lord. We pray you would do that tonight. God, I pray you would give me the right words, the right thoughts. God, that you would give me the right spirit, everything that I need tonight to get it across to these people, your people, the way that you want me to, Lord. And I pray that, God, you would help them to listen, to pay attention, and God, to be sitting on the edge of their seat, not to hear from me, but to hear what you have to say to them tonight. And God, we pray that when your word is delivered, when your message is received, Lord, that we will be obedient, responsive, Lord, and do with it what you want us to do. Like the song that just mentioned, Lord, the only way we're going to please you is to trust and obey. God, help us to obey whatever you tell us tonight from your word. God, thank you for being a great God to us. God, we need you to show up in a mighty way. We pray that you would bless our pastor in Pennsylvania preaching tonight, Lord, that you would bless him and use him to be an encouragement to that church over there, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Jesus in this chapter is encountered by three different people. These people seemingly have nothing in common. Some are honored, some are ashamed. Some are respected, some are rejected. Some are have a high standing in society while others are outcast and run out of town. Yet all three had intense problems that they were facing. And they came to the right person that day. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that Jesus can fix all kinds of problems when you bring them to him. I want you to notice a couple things as we introduce this message tonight. I said they brought their problems to Christ. These people that seemingly shared nothing in common, that these people that seemingly were so different and so varied in many different ways. But I want you to see verse number 2, that they all brought their problems to Jesus. Verse number 2, it says, "And when he was come out of the ship," referring to Christ, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." So in verse number 2, you see this wild and crazy man that he comes to Jesus, that he meets Jesus. As soon as Jesus gets out of the boat, the ship that he was on, this man comes to him. Verse number 22, if you look over there for a moment, this other man, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." Notice at the beginning of that verse number 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues." He brought his problem to Christ. He didn't know where else to turn. There was no one else he could go to. He had tried everything else that he could come up with, but he brought his problem to Christ. I want you to see also verse number 27, if I could draw your attention there for a moment. It says, "This woman with an issue of blood," verse number 27, "when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. So in verse number 2, you have this wild man, and he met the Lord. In verse number 22, you have this ruler of the synagogue. He cometh to the Lord. In verse number 27, this woman that has suffered so many things for such a long time, she came in the press behind and touched Jesus' garment. I'm glad that Jesus fixes all kinds of problems when you bring them to him. And by the way, he doesn't just fix the problems. I'm glad he fixes the people too. Listen, he's not just going to cure up the symptoms. He's not just going to clear up those outward manifestations. I'm glad that he doesn't just fix the problem, but he can fix the person too. I'm so glad that our Lord is one that fixes problems. Hey, what problem are you dealing with tonight? What are you facing tonight? Listen, we're going to talk about some different people and some different issues that they were going through. But the great thing about it is they all found their solution in Christ. I want to ask you tonight this question. What's your problem? What's your problem? See, when we usually use that term, we're saying, hey, what's the cause for your anger? What's the cause for that bad attitude you have? What's the cause for that sour look on your face? What's going on, man? What happened to you? But I don't want to use it that way tonight. I want to ask you, what's going on in your heart that maybe no one else knows about except the Lord Jesus Christ? What's going on in your life that you need fixing, that you need healing, that you need his touch on tonight? Hey, Woodlawn, what's your problem tonight? Listen, we've got to face the issues. We've got to stop trying to excuse them and push them out of the way and get our mind off on other stuff and try to avoid these problems. We need to take our problems to Christ and admit that we have some issues. I want to ask you tonight this question. What's your problem? What's your problem? I want you to see in this chapter, in these three different individuals, in these three different people's lives, the problems that they were facing. I want you to see, first of all, this one. When I ask you what's your problem, I want you to ask you, first of all, is it this? Is it blatantly obvious? See, this first guy that we encounter, his problem, Tut, was blatantly obvious. Listen, this is somebody that you wouldn't go up to him and say, hey, brother, is there something going on in your heart right here? Is there something that's bothering you? No, you could tell it was written all over his face. It was protruding out of his life very sharply. You could tell that something was wrong with this guy. Verse number 2, check it out as we talk about this point number 1, the blatantly obvious problem. Verse number 2, and when Jesus was coming out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Let's stop right there. This guy lives in the cemetery. Weird. Okay, that's a little freaky. I'm a little creeped out already. Well, let's continue. And he had an unclean spirit. Listen, this guy is controlled by the influence of Satan. There are demons that live within this man's body, and they are in control of him. This guy is wild. He's crazy. He's out of control. He's raving. He's violent. Nobody wanted to do anything with this guy. Verse number 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Check out verse number 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I'm glad my house wasn't next to that guy, all right? This is crazy. This guy is wild. He's out of control. He's violent. Listen, this guy is crazy. He's controlled by Satan, as we talked about, that Satan had taken possession and ownership of this guy's life. He can't be contained. He can't be confined. No, not with chains. Verse number 3, at the end it says, no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Verse number 4, because that he had often been bound with fetters. Those are like handcuffs for your feet, and with chains. And the chains have been plucked asunder. Listen, they had tried to contain this guy. They had tried to control this guy. They had tried everything they could think of many, many times apparently, and nothing would work. Nothing could stop this guy. He was unstoppable. He could not be tamed. He could not be controlled in any way. He was bound with fetters and chains, and he would break those things apart and bust through those things like they were nothing. He couldn't be contained. He couldn't be confined. Listen, he was consumed with that which was dark and deathly. It said he dwelt among the tombs in the cemetery. The account in Matthew tells us that he was completely closed off. That it says in Matthew 8:28, it says that so that no man might pass by that way. Yeah, that would be smart, right? I wouldn't go down that road and go down in that area if that wild, crazy man, that maniac, that madman is out there. Nobody would pass by him. Perhaps, listen, Perhaps anyone that would come by that way, he would terrorize them. That's probably why he ran up to Jesus in the first place. He saw the boat docking on the shore, landing on the shore, and he saw some people, some new victims, and he ran up to those people to terrorize them, just like the other ones that he had, but he met somebody else that day than he was expecting. He was consumed with what was dark and deathly. He was closed off from society. He was isolated, and he would terrorize people. But in verse number 6, a great thing happened. It says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. Aren't you glad that even the devils know who Jesus is? Verse number 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Jesus in verse number 8 says unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Verse number 9, and he asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. You look in history, a Roman legion could be up to 5,600 soldiers. This guy had a massive amount of demons inside of him. He was under satanic control. Listen, this guy, his problem was blatantly obvious. You wouldn't have to investigate very long to find out this guy's issue. You wouldn't have to look very long before you realize that this guy's got some problems. He was closed off, but he was confronted by the Lord. Listen, I'm glad that when you're in the deepest, darkest hour, when you're off the hook, and when you're wild and crazy and out of control, listen, the only one that can change you is Christ. And listen, he's not off limits to you. Listen, he'll come to you and your problem and help you where you are. I'm glad. Listen, no one else may mess with you tonight. No one else may shake your hand. No one else, they may be too afraid to come near you, but listen, Jesus said, that's like with Paul. When Paul was this man that was a menace to the Christians, and he was locking them up and killing them. Listen, some of the Christians weren't too eager to meet him. They were worried that maybe he was setting them up, that maybe he was just trying to gain their trust so he could slaughter more of them. But you know what? I'm glad that Jesus messed with him on the road, on the Damascus road, and he saved his soul. And he told Ananias and some of the other disciples, listen, go help that man and go bring him into the brotherhood. Listen, he's one of us now. I'm glad about that. He was confronted by the Lord. You say, Brother Tom, what in the world does this have to do with me? Listen, I'm not a maniac. At least I hope I'm not, right? I'm not wild and out of control. You know what, folks? To an extent, I agree with you. But you know what? We can have some problems that are outward as well. We can have some problems that are blatantly obvious as well. Listen, what about a bad temper? What about flying off the handle all the time? What about blowing up on people and ripping them to shreds? Listen, that's something that's blatantly obvious. That's not something that's hidden. That's not something that's secret. That comes out. Listen, what if your attitude's sorry? What if your attitude stinks, young person? Listen, that's blatantly obvious. What if you can't control your mouth? That's blatantly obvious. What if you have bitterness in your heart that's sapping the life and the strength and the vitality out of you? That's blatantly obvious. Listen, we can have some issues that they come out. They come to the exterior. They're outward, and people can see them. Maybe that's you tonight. Listen, maybe in your appearance, young lady, it's blatantly obvious. Listen, maybe in the way you present yourself, it's blatantly obvious. You got some issues. Listen, we're not trying to beat you down or judge you tonight or hurt you tonight. We're trying to say, bring those issues to Christ. He can fix them. You don't have to live in that any longer. You don't have to just say, well, that's the way I am. That's the way my family is. That's the way we've always been. Listen, you can bring your problem to Christ tonight, and he can change you. I'm glad about that. Listen, don't forget that we serve a God that changes people. When you walked into this church, you didn't have it all going on. You didn't have everything taken care of. You didn't have everything put together. Listen, you were probably falling apart. You were probably a mess. There were probably some things that were falling apart in your life, but you brought your life to Christ, and he put you back together. I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. Listen, it was blatantly obvious this guy's problem, but he was confronted with Christ. And check out, let's go through the story, and then we'll check out the change that happens to him. Jesus cast the demons out. He asked how many are in him, and he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. And then verse number 10, the demons begged Christ not to send them out of the country. Apparently they had a stronghold in that country. Verse number 11, and there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding pigs. And all the devils besought him or begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Jesus gave them permission is what it's saying. Get this. So Jesus heals the man, casts the demons out of this man, this multitude of demons that's contained within him. He casts them out, and he sends them into the pigs. Verse number 13, it says, they entered into the swine. And notice the reaction immediately what happens. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the street, in the sea. They were drowned. Did you notice how many there were? 2,000. That's some soggy bacon right there. That's crazy. Can you imagine seeing this? Can you imagine what the scene is here? Jesus cast the demons out of the man into these pigs. They immediately, Brother Bob, you're good. I'll get it later. Immediately, they run down a steep place. You know, listen, you know a mark of demon activity? Destruction. Violence. This man, in verse number 5, it says he was crying and cutting himself with stones. Listen, he was mutilating himself. He was cutting himself apart. Listen, by the way, that stuff happens nowadays too. May not be as blatant. It may not be as obvious. It may not be as out there and as telltale signs as you see in this passage, but it's out there. And by the way, in our society, they try to make it cute. They try to get your kids to start believing in it. Better be careful. Better know what your kids are watching. You better know what games they're playing. You better be involved in that and finding out. Listen, because the devil is sneaky. He introduces things in a small way, in a subtle way. But this man is confronted by Christ. He casts the demons out into these pigs. These pigs immediately, violently run down, jump off the cliff into the sea, and they're drowned. In verse number 14, the people that were watching the pigs, that were in charge of that herd, verse number 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They told it everywhere, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So these guys, they're watching this going on. They run back to the city and to the country, and they tell them what just happened. And all these people are curious, and they come running back to the scene to see what's going on. Notice what they find in this man. This man that was wild, was crazy, was crying and cutting himself with stones, was living in the cemetery. This guy, the next time they saw him, verse number 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, get this, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus had made quite a change in this guy's life. The guy that no one could change, Jesus changed. Whoa, Woodlawn, I say the guy that nobody else could change, Jesus changed. He did something that no one else could do. Listen, this guy that was wild, that was crazy, that was out of his mind, that was off the wall, that nobody could do anything with him. The next time they see him, he's sitting beside Jesus, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Listen, they're in a life that Jesus can't change. I'm so glad that he changes lives. Listen, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this guy's changed. And it always strikes me oddly their reaction to this, right? This guy is totally different. He's been completely transformed. And the people's reaction is they're afraid. I would think they would be happy. I would think they could, you know, use that road now. You know, I would think they could trust this guy now. Something had happened in him, but they were afraid. Could it be that when they saw the working of God that they got convicted in their own life? That maybe they had some issues that they didn't want to confront? Could it be that when they saw the Lord change somebody else, they noticed there were some things that needed to change in them, but they didn't want that? But they wanted to avoid it? Listen, sometimes when people change in church, some people rejoice, other people get scared, get convicted. I wonder which one you are. Verse number 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And get this, verse number 17, just amazing in a negative sense. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. You know what these people did in Gadara? They said, Jesus, please leave. Would you please get out of here? This worries us. This bothers us. And guess what? If you beg Jesus to leave long enough, he will. If you don't want him in your life long enough, he'll leave. Verse number 18, and when he was coming to the ship, Jesus got back in the boat and left. But I want you to see this guy was changed, but he was also commissioned. I like this guy. When he got changed, when his life was completely transformed, he had a desire to be with the Lord. He said, Lord, no one could change me. No one could do anything with me, but now you've changed my life completely.
I want to stay with you, Lord. By the way, when God blesses your life, don't leave him. When God blesses your life, don't leave him. Todd, how many people have we seen that God blesses them with that job that they've been begging for, or that relationship that they've been pleading for, whatever blessing that they needed in their life, and then as soon as they get it, they leave God. Don't let your blessings become your God. Remember where your blessings come from. Listen, without God, you wouldn't have those blessings. Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Listen, you don't have that job by accident. God blessed you with that. You don't have that family by accident. God blessed you with that. You don't have that ministry just because of your personality or your charisma. God blessed you with that, and you need to be faithful to it. This man is commissioned. Listen, when he got healed and changed, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He's saying, Lord, take me with you. But Jesus had a different idea. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Listen, this guy is so appreciative, so grateful for what Christ has done in his life, how he's changed him completely, that he says, Lord, let me go with you. Let me travel with you. God, I don't want to leave you. Listen, Lord, all these years, I was a wild, crazy man. I was a madman. I was a lunatic. I was a psycho. No one could help me. But as soon as I met you, you changed me completely. Lord, please, I want to stay with you. You know what the Lord said? No, I got a different plan. Hey, folks, could it be in your life that maybe you have some dreams, desires, some goals in your life, but the Lord has a different plan? Hey, don't let it be that if God doesn't give you, in your mind, your plan A, that you quit on him. Well, if I can't teach the class, I'm not going to do anything. Well, if I can't be the bus captain, then just forget it. Listen, why don't you start wherever God points you to? He was commissioned. And get this. This is fascinating to me. Jesus says, go home to your friends. Now, if I'm the maniac right now, I'm thinking, what? Are you kidding me, Lord? Listen. This had gone on for a while, folks. These people hated him. These people had ran him out of town. These people wanted nothing to do with him. These people stayed away from him. And every chance they had, they say, you're going to send me back there? Why there? You know why I think Jesus sent him back to his home? The people that hated him, despised him, and kicked him out of their lives? Get this. If he traveled with the Lord, he could be up there before Jesus preached, and he could give his testimony and say, I used to be a wild, crazy man. I lived in the cemetery. I would scream and cry all night. I would cut myself with stones. All these different things would happen. I was a lunatic. But Jesus changed me. And you know what the crowds would think? That's nice. But is it really true? But Tut, if he goes back to his home, they would see the biggest difference of him than anyone else. Listen, those people, if he traveled with the Lord and if he went with the Lord on his journey, those people might have got a blessing from it, but they wouldn't really know if it's legit or not. But those people from his hometown that saw his wild, crazy, uncontrollable state that he was in would see the change day in and day out. Every day they would have a strong testimony of what only Christ could do. Listen, folks, you say, I want to reach people for the Lord. I want to be a testimony. You know where you need to be a testimony above everything else? Around those that you are with more often than not. Around your family, around your close friends. Listen, they need to see the biggest difference in you. Some of us want to be a blessing to other people that we see once a week or people we see 5 days a week at work. Listen, you need to be a blessing and you need to be a real Christian to those that you see 7 days a week. Jesus commissioned him. He said, go home to your friends and you tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Aren't you glad for the day Jesus had compassion on you? I'm glad when I was in my messed up state. I'm glad when I was in my uncontrollable state. I didn't need a psychic. I didn't need a psychiatrist. I didn't need to pop some pills. I needed Jesus to change me, and he did, and I'm thankful for it. He had compassion on me. If he wouldn't have had pity on you, where would you be right now? Where would I be right now? He had compassion on him. Jesus said, you go home to your friends. You go home to those people that hated you. You go home to those people that kicked you out of town. And you tell them and you show them how I loved you and how I cared for you when no one else did. And get this guy. Even though it wasn't his plan A, man, he got excited and he did something for God. Verse number 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And what was the reaction? All men did marvel. You know what they said? Wow. No one can do it like he did. They were astonished. Listen, as I ask you tonight, what's your problem? Is your problem blatantly obvious? Folks, have you been blowing up on people lately? Is your attitude apparent to those around you that it's not right? Is your gossip out of control? Are you blatantly disobeying some of the commands of the Lord and have been for a long time? Is that you tonight? Is your problem blatantly obvious? But I want you to see number two. Not only do we have one person that their problem is blatantly obvious, I want you to see another person in this passage that they come to Christ on behalf of another. You know what I'm saying? They had a burden for someone else. Verse number 21, the Bible says, "And when he was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, Lord, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus, the man of compassion that he was, in verse number 24, Jesus went with him, and much people followed him in throng. Listen, the first man that we encountered in this passage, his problem is blatantly obvious. You can see it. It comes out of him. It oozes out of him. Every action, every word, every sound he makes, it shows what his problem is blatantly obvious. By the way, before I move on, in your life, do you wreak havoc wherever you go? Do you leave a trail of hurt people and hurt feelings wherever you go? That may be a problem that's blatantly obvious. But number two, this guy, he comes to Christ on behalf of another. Jairus, verse number 22. He comes, he's a ruler of the synagogue. This guy has some position about him. See, that first guy we met, man, he's crazy. He's a madman. No one wants anything to do with him. He's disgraced. He's despised. He's ashamed. But in verse number 22, this guy shows up. He has some prestige. Listen, Jairus is the man. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He has a high position in society. People look up to Jairus. He has some honor and some respect. He's highly regarded. He has a position. He's a ruler of the synagogue. But this man that was so prestigious, he had a problem. This man had a problem. Verse number 23. He besought Jesus greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." This man comes to Christ, and his problem is not really even his own problem. It's not blatantly obvious. It's not popping out to people, but his problem is on behalf of another. He's got a 12-year-old daughter at home that's dying, that's on her deathbed and is running out of time. And I like this guy. This guy, Todd, that has some prestige and some position in the society that day. This man that's big time stuff. In verse number 22, he falls at Jesus' feet and he beseeches him. He begs him greatly, saying, "Lord, you got to come and help me." Could it be, folks, that maybe you have some prestige? Maybe you're highly regarded within Woodlawn. Maybe people look up to you and you're highly respected, but you need to fall down on your knees and fall down at Jesus' feet and say, "Lord, people think I'm something big, but God, I'm nothing. You got to help me with this problem." I'm glad this guy, he wasn't too big. He wasn't too good. He wasn't too high for this. He was prestigious, yes, but he had a problem that was tearing him up inside. And this guy was pleading with passion. Verse number 23, he begged Christ. That's what besought means. He begged him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay thy hands on her. If she may be healed, she shall live." This guy had a problem, and he was pleading with passion. Hey, folks, when's the last time you pleaded with passion to the Lord? When's the last time something was tearing you apart on the inside and you couldn't handle it? And you say, "Lord, you've got to help me with this." Listen, the problem may not be your own. The problem may be somebody in your family that's lost on their way to hell. Your problem may not be your own necessarily. It may be somebody that's sick and they may be dying. Your problem may not be your own, but it may be somebody that used to be a brother or sister of Christ, but now they're leaving the Lord and they're departing from him and forsaking him, and you're begging, crying out to the Lord, say, "Lord, help this situation." Do you have a burden for someone tonight?
Listen, maybe you fall into the first category where you have some problems, and to be honest with you, those problems are starting to pop out. You're starting to blow up at people. You're starting to tear people apart. That attitude, that bitterness is starting to flow out. But maybe you fall into the second category, and you're coming to Christ on behalf of another. Hey, folks, tonight, who's on your heart? Who's on your prayer list? Who's on your heart with a burden that you say, God, you got to touch this person. You got to help them. Are you coming to Christ on behalf of another? Do you have a burden for them? This guy had some prestige, some power, some position, but he had a problem that was tearing him apart, and he was pleading with passion to the Lord. When's the last time, like Jacob, you said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. God, I'm not going to quit until you give me what I need here. And thank God that he came to this person. He came to a person that had compassion. How great is the Lord? Verse number 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Listen. Jesus, who had all these things to do, Jesus who had to heal people and preach sermons and do all these different things and save souls and ultimately die on the cross for our sins, this Jesus, in the midst of that huge crowd with all this chaos and all this noise going on around him, stopped everything, listened to this man's plea and said, I'll go with you. I'll follow you to your home. Show me where it is. As if he didn't know. He came on the behalf of another. Listen, instead of crying to your friend, instead of going on Facebook and airing your problems, why don't you cry out to somebody that has compassion? Why don't you go on the behalf of another? Listen, folks, how dare we at Woodlawn just let our brothers and sisters fall into sin, fall off the path, and just think, well, it's not me. Hello? Now, I'm glad it's not you. I'm glad it's not me, but you know what? It could be us. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Listen, let's start begging God to bring these people back. Let's start begging God to work in their hearts, to get their attention, and to bring them back into the fold. The first man, his problem is blatantly obvious. It's coming out everywhere. You can see it as soon as you meet him. But this second man, he comes to Christ on behalf of others, saying, Lord, this problem is not necessarily me, but Lord, I have a 12-year-old daughter. Lord, if you don't do something, she's going to die. And Jesus had compassion on him. At the end of the chapter, it tells us that Jesus took care of his problem and he healed his daughter. What a great God it is that we serve. Woodlawn, what's your problem tonight? Is it blatantly obvious? Is it on the behalf of another? Do you have somebody burning on your heart right now saying, we've got to get them back. We've got to reach that lost soul. We've got to have this problem fixed. God, you've got to do something here. God, you've got to bless this person. Folks, let me just stop here and say, when's the last time you had a burden? Hey, I fall into it too. We just get so much in the routine, so much in the motions. We just do the same thing over and over and over again. Sometimes we can become robots if we don't watch it. And there's no heart. There's no fervor. There's no fire. There's no begging the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to do this with the right heart, with the right motives. Hey, don't just go on your bus every week. Why don't you ask God to give you the right heart for it, to change your attitude towards it, to not just, I think it was Brother Charlie or someone at the conference we were just at. Listen, they said there's a difference between riding a bus and being a bus worker. Let me say that again. There's a difference between riding on a bus and being a bus worker. Riding on the bus just means you take up space. You're sitting on a seat there. But being a bus worker means you get involved in people's lives. Don't just sit in a classroom every Sunday. Be a worker in that class. Be involved. Don't just come out on Thursday night so you can check your attendance off and say, yeah, I was there. I served the Lord. Why don't you put your heart into it? When's the last time God gave you a burden for somebody? Has it been a while? The first man's problem is blatantly obvious. The second man's problem is on behalf of others. And I want you to see the last problem that we encounter in this passage. Verses 25 through 33. This lady, number three, was bearing it out of sight. She was bearing it out of sight. Verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, notice her motivation here. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole.
That's some faith right there. Verse number 29, and straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples, always on the wrong page, verse number 31, in so many words say, "Lord, who touched your clothes? Are you kidding me? Who didn't touch your clothes?" Verse number 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But verse number 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Listen, the first man we encounter in Mark chapter 5, his problem is blatantly obvious. It's outward. As soon as you see him, as soon as you come into contact with him, you notice this guy's got some major issue. The second person we encounter, the second story that comes up, is a man that doesn't have his own problem necessarily, but it's for his 12-year-old daughter that's dying. That it's a desperate, dire situation, that if Jesus doesn't come through for him, it's over. But this last lady that we come across, guess what? Folks, this lady, if you were to see her, you wouldn't really see a problem on the exterior. You wouldn't really notice anything wrong with her on the outside. Listen, but you know what she was dealing with? Secret suffering. Secret suffering. Hey, I wonder who in this room tonight, you've been dealing with something on the inside. And you can show up to church and put a smile on your face. And when people ask you how you're doing, you say, "Oh, everything's great, everything's fine." But you know you're not telling the truth. You're bearing it out of sight. No one else may see it. This was hidden from sight. It was covered. It was concealed. But this was something that was constant. She couldn't shake it. This lady had dealt with this issue of blood, this internal hemorrhaging problem within her body for 12 years. She's not a 12-year-old woman like our last story, but she has a 12-year-old problem. And it's hidden from sight. I'm sure she tried to cover it. I'm sure she tried to conceal it. I'm sure that the best she could, even when those pains would come through her body, she would try her best not to grimace and not to show it to people. But it was hidden out of sight. Hey, folks, I wonder in your life what's going on out of sight that no one else may know about. The pastor may not know. The leadership in Woodlawn may not know. But you and the Lord know. And there's something going on within you that you're struggling with. Maybe it's bad thoughts. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's adulterous thoughts going on in your mind. Maybe it's that bitterness that maybe it hadn't popped its way out yet, but it's seething on the inside. It's boiling on the inside, and you haven't gotten it taken care of yet. I wonder if somebody's hurt you in the past that you haven't let it go, that you haven't forgiven them, and you can't shake this problem. It's hidden from sight. But listen, even though this woman had dealt with this problem for 12 years, it wasn't because she hadn't tried to fix it. Verse number 26, what a great verse this is. It says she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all that she had. She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This woman had tried everything, folks. She had done everything she could think of. Every doctor that said he could fix it, she went to him. Every pill, every diet, every exercise program, every therapy that she could come up with to try to fix her problem, she tried it, and nothing worked. You know what? Maybe in your life you've tried everything else and it hasn't worked. Why don't you try Jesus? Why don't you stop wasting time on all these phony, baloney solutions and come up to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've tried everything else and it doesn't work, but Lord, I'm coming to you. I got one more chance. I got one more shot at this thing, and I don't want to blow it." She sought help. She had tried everything. You know what verse number 26 makes me think of? When she had suffered many things, many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. It makes me think of false religion. How people go to these places thinking they're getting some help, thinking they're getting the solution to their problem, but they never get better. They only get worse. The help she sought. She had been hurt by these shysters. Listen, they had promised healing, but they had only produced more hurt in her life. It only made things worse. And she felt betrayed. And listen, to have an issue of blood in this day and age, it was a disgraceful thing. Leviticus chapter 15 tells us that to have an issue of blood, it meant that you would be put away for a certain amount of time. Can you imagine this lady if she had a family? She couldn't live with them. She was isolated. Can you imagine the problem that she had dealt with for all these years, the things that she had suffered and gone through, the sorrow that she dealt with, but she couldn't even go to her family and find any comfort? Listen, having an issue of blood in this day and age was equivalent to almost to having leprosy. They would put you away. You would be isolated and alienated from everyone. It meant to be cast out, to be cut off from society. But I'm glad this lady, listen. Maybe you've been hurt by people. Maybe there's some things that have hurt you down deep in your soul. But you know what? This person, this lady had one more shot. She had one more shot. She said, verse number 27, when she heard of Jesus. I don't know what she heard, but she had heard that Jesus could do some great things. She had heard from her friends, or she had heard from somebody that Jesus could do great things, that he could heal people, that he could change people. Hey, maybe she heard about this maniac of Gadara. Maybe she heard how he could, when Jesus showed up, people's lives changed. Blinded eyes are restored, and people that are dead are raised to life again. I don't know what she heard, but she heard that Jesus was in town, and she wasn't going to let Jesus pass by her without her getting there and getting to him. Folks, are you determined? Are you determined in your life? Listen, you may have tried and tried and tried all these different kind of things to heal that hurt in your heart, but nothing has worked. Listen, don't give up until you've tried Jesus. He can do something with you. It may be hidden from sight. Maybe nobody in this room knows what you're going through, but he does, and he can fix it. She sought help. She was hurt by these shysters. She had a hated stigma that followed her around, but she had one more shot, and she was headed to the Savior. Listen, in spite of the obstacles, listen, there was a huge crowd that surrounded Jesus that day. I'm sure it wasn't easy to get to him, but she was determined. She wouldn't let anything stop her until she got to the Lord. You know what our problem is? We're not determined. We go through a youth conference and God slams us down and God speaks to us about something, and then as soon as we counter the first obstacle, we quit. That's our problem. Listen, this lady is determined. Listen, I'm sure this issue of blood was a painful thing. I'm sure this thing would hurt her from the inside. Some commentators say that she couldn't possibly walk there that day. She probably had to crawl. Can you imagine that? In this huge crowd, how many people stepped on her and bumped into her, and how many times she had to force her way in and push her way through and press through the crowd to get to Christ. Listen, folks, maybe you've tried to get to Jesus before, but you've gotten kicked down. Maybe you've gotten stepped on by a well-meaning Christian. Can I tell you tonight, don't quit because of that? Well, I tried to live for God, and I tried to do that Christian thing, but I got stepped on, and I got kicked down, and that person said something mean to me, and it hurt me, and I'm never trying it again. Listen, you're doing a very foolish thing. Listen, you keep your eyes on Christ, not people. You don't live for God because of people. You live for the Lord because of him. Don't let anything stop you. You know what some of our young people need? To get your eyes off of everybody else and trying to fit in with everybody else and start trying to be accepted of Christ. That's what you need to do. Stop trying to fit in. Josh, we talked about today. Listen, I was speaking in his class earlier today. Listen, you shouldn't worry about the newest song that come out and trying to be cool and trying to worry about all the latest slang words that come out and all the newest dances and all the newest songs. Forget all that stuff and say, Lord, that's not my job. My job is to be like you and to live like you, to be holy as you're holy. That's your job. That's your job. She headed to the Savior in spite of her obstacles, and she was determined. She would not be stopped. What will you allow to stop you? And one more thing, folks, and I'm done. She was healed spiritually. I like this. Verse number 29, it says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. You know what that means? All that internal bleeding, all that she had suffered, all that she had went through for the past 12 years, in an instant, the Bible says, immediately was dried up. Praise God. In one touch, Jesus changed everything. She was healed spiritually. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse number 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Listen, folks, maybe your problem tonight is not blatantly obvious. Maybe your problem tonight isn't necessarily on the behalf of others, but maybe your problem tonight is something you're bearing out of sight. No one else sees it. But you know what the Lord can do? He can heal you. He can fix you from the inside out. Listen, nobody would notice a difference on the exterior, on the outward. Nobody would see a difference in your life on the outside. But listen, you know what Jesus did in your heart. I've had plenty of times in my life, Tuck, where you wake up and you got that angry spirit, or you got that spirit that's struggling with sin, and you're struggling in your life with whatever it may be. Maybe something was said to you the day before that hurt you, and you tried to put it away and you tried to get rid of it, but it came back to you and it's just latched on and it won't let go. And you know what you have to do? You got to spend enough time with the Lord that He cleanses that. You got to spend enough time on your knees to say, Lord, I don't want to be angry at that person. I don't want to hate that person. I don't want to be bitter against that person. I don't want that to sour my life and to mess me up from the inside out. God, you got to take that away. And listen, you know what the Lord does? If you'll be determined enough to stick with Him, listen, He'll take that thing that's within you that's tearing you apart, and He'll remove it. Listen, no one on the outside can notice any difference, but you know what? You know what happened within you. You ever been struggling with a sin? You ever been struggling with something that the devil is beating you up? He's running the same play every time, and he's beating you down. You can't stop him. You can't fix it. And you say, Lord, you got to help me. I can't keep falling to this temptation. I can't keep giving into it. And as you continue to beg him, the Lord gives you the help and the enablement and the power to overcome that sin that you have no business beating on yourself. But he helps you from within, and no one else can see the difference on the outside. But you know what happened within you. Folks, if this is you tonight, why don't you come tonight, not to me, why don't you come to Christ and say, Lord, this has been tearing me up for way too long. God, I have been battling you about this for way too long. I've been struggling with this for weeks or months or years. Listen, folks, you talking to somebody else is not going to change anything. You getting treatment is not going to change anything. You know what you need to do? You need to come to Christ and say, Lord, you've got to help me. Maybe there's some secret sin that you're dealing with in your life that no one else knows about it. Listen, why don't you stop struggling with it? Why don't you stop letting the devil beat you down with it and say, Lord, you've got to deliver me from this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what the Bible says? God is good at pulling down strongholds in your life. You know what that means? Satanic fortresses. Maybe the devil has a strong point built up in your life. You know what you need to do? With God's help, you need to attack it and take that thing down. She was healed spiritually. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew what was done in her. No one else may know. Brother Bob, no one else may be able to tell. No one else may be able to see a notable difference. But you know what happened to you. Hey, folks, when's the last time that the Lord has done something in you that maybe no one else knows about, but he's blessed you on the inside, he's helped you on the inside, and it's amazing every time he does it. It astounds you every time he does it. It would be good for us if we don't have to think back too far to think of a time when Jesus has done that for us. Maybe if you can't think of one right now, maybe tonight needs to be that time that you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've dealt with this long enough. God, I can't handle it anymore. It's beating me down. It's wearing me out. And God, I can't shake it. But you can come to Christ. You know what he says in Matthew 11? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible says you can cast all your care upon him. Listen, anything that's beating you down tonight, you can cast, you know what it means? You can throw it on the Lord. You can cast it to him. You can give it to him. Why? Because he cares for you. That's the God that we serve. You know the great thing about all these stories? First guy's problem, he was wild, out of control. Second person's problem, his little daughter was dying. Third person's problem, no one else could see it on the outside. But she was grief-stricken on the inside. He was ripped apart on the inside. You know the great thing about all these stories? Jesus fixed all of them. And guess what, Woodlawn? You may not even fall into these three categories, but Jesus can fix your problem too. He can fix your problem too. Why don't you give him a chance to? Why don't you stop trying to handle it yourself? Why don't you stop trying to excuse it away and avoid it and say, oh, I'll get it together sooner or later. You've been dealing with the same issue. I told my class today, listen, we're all about, at the end of class, people raising their hands saying God spoke to them. We love that. But you know what? It's not a good thing if it's the same problem you raised your hand about a month ago or a year ago or 2 years ago. Because you know what? You need to deal with that thing head on with the Lord's help and overcome that stronghold in your life and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? We need to conquer some of these problems and ask God to change us. What's your problem tonight? Whatever your problem is, Jesus can take care of it. He can fix it. Jesus fixes all kinds of problems and all kinds of people when you bring it to him. What's your problem? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you again for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. God, help us. God, help us to be real with you tonight. God, it doesn't matter what the rest of the church knows about us. It doesn't matter what the person sitting beside us, what they think of us or how they evaluate us in our life. God, it really matters what our problem is with you. God, maybe our problem is obvious. It's popping out. Maybe our problem is on behalf of another. Maybe you've touched our heart tonight about someone that's fallen away from you or that has a serious issue that they need help, God. God, I pray you would burden our hearts, if you haven't already, to give us someone to invest in and to pray for and to work towards restoring them. And God, maybe our problem is just burying it out of sight. No one else may see. Maybe we can cover it up well. Maybe we can think that we handle it okay, that no one else notices. But God, it really doesn't matter if anyone else notices, because you already know about it. We pray that you would help us tonight. I pray that tonight, Lord, you would deal with these issues, and God, you would help us to bring them to you, no matter what they are, because God, we know that you can fix every single one of them. Thank you for being a great God. We pray you would bless our invitation. Heads bowed, eyes closed, if you stand to your feet as the piano begins to play. Don't mess around. Don't play games. Why don't you come do business with Christ tonight?